Thank you for joining us today for Financially Fit, where you will learn how to build your money muscles by making small changes to get you in better financial shape. I'm Dina Isola, joined by my husband, business partner, and certified financial planner, Tony Isola, and we're looking forward to sharing insights from our fee-only fiduciary registered investment advisor firm, ATI Investment Consulting, located in Stony Brook. Our mission is to educate and empower you so that you can not only get stronger financially and make better decisions, but never be taken advantage of. This show is for you. We'd like to hear what questions and concerns you have, so be sure and call us, 631-675-1420, and you can help us help you. Or email us, Dina, D-I-N-A, at atiinvestment.com. And our website, atiinvestment.com, has quite a bit of information on there, including the blogs and radio tab, where you can access replays of Financially Fit. So the last few weeks, we've been discussing the importance of a financial plan if you hope to stay on track and meet your financial goals. And today, we want to show you how important it is to keep your plan evolving. It's a living document, and it's based on changes in your life, because nothing in life is permanent. So we want to give you the tools so that you can really gracefully manage these changes and not be ruffled by them and embrace it.
Yeah, it's. I think that's a good way to describe a plan as a living document. It's when the Constitution was written, you know, the people who wrote it were pretty smart, if you think about it, because they put in a provision, so something called amendments could be added. So as society changed and laws needed to change, so could the Constitution. So for instance, you know, we have an amendment to get rid of slavery. We have an amendment to give women the right to vote and all these important things that didn't need to be a revolution or a civil war to accomplish many of these goals. So same thing with your plan. Your plan needs to basically be very flexible. And within the plan, there has to be the ability to adjust it. And most people will think, well, you know, here's my plan. And now for the rest of my life, I'm just going to follow this blueprint and I'll live happily ever after. But unfortunately, that's not how life works. There are often changes, and that's fine because we all know that that's just part of life. But what's important is a good financial plan will be very flexible, so you'll be able to adjust your financial needs to your life changes.
Yes, yeah, so if you're ready, we're ready to get started with the heavy lifting.
Here we go, come on, push it out.
Now, don't get nervous. We're going to help you look at all the areas in your life that you need to consider when making and adjusting this plan, or the milestones that are going to present certain unique opportunities to you simply because you've had a birthday.
Right. And the changes, you know, the changes in your life don't necessarily have to be bad. You know, all of a sudden, some long-lost relative that you never saw really leaves you a lot of money. Well, you know, most people would feel bad that that person died, but, you know, now you have this windfall that needs to be put into your plan and could possibly change a lot of things and speed up your retirement date or enable you to do charitable things or whatever. So just because something changes in your life, you don't have to automatically assume it's a negative change.
Right. And today's show, we're working off of a document that we use with our clients. It's called the 2015 Last Chance Financial Planning Checklist. And what's great about this checklist is it's going to give you things that need to be looked at before the year is out so that you can capitalize on these unique opportunities available to you. So today, what we're going to focus on are two components of this checklist. And one is the milestones. And, you know, for example, you have a birthday. You're now 50 years old. This changes entirely what's going on with your IRA. Did you know that? Did you know that once you hit age 50, you can make what's called a catch-up provision?
Yeah, and now you could put in an extra, you know, $6,500.
Not extra. Well, you can put in another 1,000.
Right. It's increased. So basically, you know, you have another $1,000 that you could contribute, and over a period of 10 years or 15 years, that's a lot of money if it earns any type of return. So,
and some qualified retirement plans also will let you have a catch-up provision that you'd have to check with your employer. But if that is available to you, that is another way that you can save extra money.
Absolutely. You know, and then, I mean, also for younger people,
yes,
there are important ages. Now, you're 26 is actually a pretty big milestone, because after age 26, you're no longer eligible to be on your parents' life insurance policy, or I'm sorry, health insurance policy.
Right.
So that's a big one. So, you know, that's going to change a lot of things if you don't make that adjustment. So for a young person, age 26 is something that you really need to consider to focus on if you have a job that the employer doesn't provide health insurance, because now your parents can no longer cover those medical costs.
When you're between the ages of 62 and 70, that's when you can apply for Social Security benefits. And we often give our clients a lot of guidance on that.
Yeah, and you know, everybody's situation is unique and different, but most people feel, well, I might as well, you know, get my Social Security at age 62 because, you know, I was watching TV and they told me all the money's going to run out, or I'm probably going to die, or all these types of things where, you know, most people, if you have two people that live to at least age 65, there's a good chance one of them will live to the age of 90 or above. So there's, unless you have some serious, you know, health issues, there's probably a much better chance you're going to live than you're going to die. So, you know, taking Social Security at 62 reduces your benefit tremendously. It's actually 8% a year.
Tremendous.
Compared to your full retirement age. So let's say, you know, your full retirement age is 66, where you'd get your full benefit. If you take it at 62, you'll get a 32% less Social Security check for the rest of your life. Now, if you happen to live to 85, 90, or 95, you're giving up literally at least a couple of $100,000 in lost benefits. So, you know, it's important to be aware of this age, you know, when you take Social Security, but not necessarily that you have to immediately take it. You know, you need to have someone, you know, we can do that.
Yes.
You know, talk to you about different strategies that you can use, especially, and if you're married, it opens up a whole other, you know, opportunities for you to do things. There are many strategies that you're simply not going to hear, you know, at the Social Security office when you go to claim your benefit.
And age 65 is when you are, when you need to apply for Medicare.
Yeah, and that's very, very important, because if you're enrolled in Social Security, you automatically will get enrolled in Medicare at 65. That's how it works. But if you decide to delay your Social Security, which, like I said, many times would be the smart choice, you're not automatically enrolled in Medicare. And if you don't enroll by age 65, there is some period, you know, they give you a few months leeway and a few things like that. But the basic premise of that is there'll be penalties that you'll have to pay. So age 65, you need to make obviously some preparation before age 65, because there's a lot of things you have to consider when you apply for Medicare with the different parts, A, B, C, and D, and all the things that go on with that. So 65, if you're not already taking your Social Security, you have to be, and your employer doesn't cover you. Because actually, if you are 65 and you work for someone that has 20 or more employees, you can stay on their insurance. But if you're working in a smaller business, you cannot. So you don't have a choice with that at that point. So 65 is a big one.
And so is 70 and a half. Anyone who has a traditional IRA needs to start taking distributions on the IRA, or there are penalties for that. So
yeah, and there's substantial penalties,
yes,
if you don't take them.
So these are all things that, you know, you need to be aware of. Now, some changes that you need to look at, whether or not they've gone on in your life, that is on our checklist is, you know, did you sell a major asset like a home or a business that year, or other real estate? And what kind of adjustments do you need to do? Did you get married? Did you have an addition to your family? As Tony said, did you lose a loved one? All these things are game changers to your plan.
Or maybe a relative is sick, and now a parent is older, and you have to provide care, which means now you can't work and might have to pay money towards the medical costs. So that's a huge, huge thing.
If you'd like to get this checklist, be sure and email me, Dina, D-I-N-A, at ATIinvestment.com. And make sure you visit our website, because there's lots of interesting information there as well. When we come back, learn how you can cut the fat out of your retirement plan and put more money in your pocket. Be sure and stay tuned. We have a lot more coming up.
Look at them yo-yos. That's the way you do it. You play the guitar on the MTV. That ain't working. That's the way you do it. Money for nothing and your checks for free. Now that ain't working. That's the way you do it.
Welcome back. You're listening to Financially Fit. And we're discussing how your financial plan needs to adjust with you. Right now, we're going to help you cut the fat out of your retirement plan.
You know, you better not do your belt. You might cause a flower lodge.
Investment costs are critical to your investment return. And your retirement plan may have a vast range of fees on the funds within your plan. And you can easily make the mistake to think that they're all kind of the same, and that would be a very large mistake. We see it all the time. Tony has on numerous occasions looked at investors' portfolios and helped them pick the right investment within their 401k or the least offensive from a fee structure standpoint. And it's really important that you pay attention to this.
Yeah, and again, you know, we always talk about focus on the things that you can control, right? Market returns, no one can control, but fees are well within your power to lower. Now, I would say one of the best things to do, even if you're a complete novice at this and you know you want to get started and invest in your company's 401k, even if you're kind of unsure what to do, you could do a lot worse than simply picking the fund or funds with the lowest fees. That really, most studies have determined that is the biggest factor in performance for a mutual fund or an index or an ETF. So basically, what I'm telling you is, even I'm not saying, you know, I wouldn't recommend that being the only consideration, but if you're kind of, you know, like I said, you want to do it yourself and you're confused, a good strategy would be to simply pick the funds with the lowest fees, you know, and just because, you know, you have a 401k and maybe the company doesn't match and maybe, you know, you're not going to put a tremendous amount in. There's nothing wrong with not participating in that 401k and simply setting up your own individual IRA or Roth IRA, which you can contribute if you're under 50, $5,500. So if the plan is really bad, and you know you just don't think you want to use it, you could still create your own retirement plan in outside of it.
If you are interested in trying to find out what fees are on these funds, I'm sure there's documentation that your employer is handing out, but if you want a third party, an unbiased third party, we use this site all the time with people. It's finra.org, and they have a fund analyzer there. And you can quickly plug in the fund, if you have the symbol, and find out what kinds of fees are being charged. And what would you say is a healthy range that you would be comfortable with, Tony?
In this day and age, I really don't believe you should pay anything more than 50 basis points, which
Explain
is point, 0.5 of 1%. So it's 0.50, so half a percent, right? And that would be for a stock fund. A bond fund, since your returns are going to be lower than the stock fund, should be lower, should be something maybe like 20 basis points. So, you know, if the fund fees are well over 1%, it's probably not, unfortunately for you, a very good plan. And again, by law, those fees have to be disclosed in the documentation that you receive from your employee. And the good thing is, I believe most 401k plans usually have a couple of options in there. And especially there's something called a target date fund, which you can kind of pick the age that you retire. So say you're retiring in 2030 or 2040, it'll say target date 2030 and 2040, and it'll be a diversified portfolio. But again, you might make sure if you're going to use that target date fund, the fees are low. And if the fees are low, that's usually a tremendous option for most people because it'll keep them from making a big mistake and allocating their money way too aggressively or way too, you know, putting it all in cash or something like that.
We have a number of clients that are teachers or work for nonprofit, and they have what's called a 403b plan. And unfortunately, the fees associated with some of the 403b plans that we've seen are not really very good.
Right. They're egregious, and it's basically impossible to make money if the fees are 3 or 4%. So again, if you're in that kind of situation, it might make sense to do a couple of things. One, you know, maybe your husband or wife has a better plan, so why not contribute double to that plan? And it's the same thing. If you were each going to put in, say, $10,000 for your retirement savings, but one plan is really bad and one plan is really good, there's nothing wrong with one of the spouses putting the $20,000 into their plan. And in the end, it'll be, you know, the same result, you know, provided, I guess, they don't run away or something like that.
Stay married.
Hopefully you trust your spouse. But if you don't, you've got bigger problems than we can handle. So, but, you know, so you can do that. So, yes, that's very important.
And if you have any questions with that, as always, feel free to call us 631-675-1420. Right. We do this all the time.
Absolutely. I consider it my favorite thing to do because we feel, you know, we really do people a service by literally showing them the dollar amount that they'll save over time by moving from a high cost fund that was sold to them by some sort of financial salesperson into a low cost, say, index fund, and the results are astounding over time. So yes, that we would be very happy for you. You know, if you have questions like that, send us your funds, and we will certainly take a look at them for you.
Okay, now we'd like to look at changes that sometimes can make us uncomfortable, and what you can do to adjust and adapt. So don't break out in a cold sweat. We got you.
I break out in a cold sweat.
It's kind of cold in here, actually, in this airport where we do this, right? Isn't it? Like the air conditioning or something? I guess it's better than that.
All right, as Tony said, we have looked at the financial plan as a living document. It needs to change as you do. So, for example, a child is born, a great happy event, but it also maybe makes you nervous, maybe makes you sweat a little bit because you're thinking about that college bill.
Right. And again, it's your focus. What are you going to focus on? You know, oh my God, I have this kid. What am I going to do? Or, hey, the kid's here. We can't get rid of him. And now we have to make the best of it. So how do we plan for him to go to college, right? Worry is not going to get you anywhere. So a simple strategy would be, okay, this unexpected, you know, event happened, which is a good thing. And, you know, now obviously you have additional college costs. Well, you know, starting the plan of, say, a 529 college plan, and unfortunately most people don't even know, they've done surveys in our country, and most people don't even know what it is. But basically think of it as, you know, sort of an IRA for retirement, except for college planning. But and it's actually better because you put the money in and when you take it out, it's completely tax-free as long as it's used for qualified educational expenses. So even starting with a small amount and regularly contributing each month when the child is born, 18 years of compounded growth, even with, you know, $100 or $200 a month, will go a long way towards paying for the college. And it's certainly better than going into this panic about how I'm going to afford another college tuition bill.
And again, the Last Chance Financial Planning Checklist is really going to help you, guide you, ask these questions of what's going on in your world that is changing that you might not really have thought about and what its ramifications are on your plan. So if you email me, Dina, D-I-N-A, at ATIinvestment.com, I can shoot that list out to you. You'll find it really invaluable. All right, it is now time for your homework.
I've come so far. I'm baby stepping. I'm doing the work. I'm baby stepping. I'm not a slacker.
Right. Now homework starting in September.
Yes.
Right. Kids get too much homework, I think. I guess that's a whole other story.
Well, this is a really easy one. Yeah. It's about Social Security. Your favorite topic.
Yeah. I mean, basically, you know, a lot of people will be like, oh, my God, I'm not getting my Social Security statement anymore. You know, what's happening? Am I not going to get Social Security? No, that's not what's happening. The government is actually doing something efficient and, you know, putting it online. So it's kind of your responsibility now to go online, set up an account. It takes like 2 seconds. You know, you put in your password, the same thing like you do when you're doing Netflix or something like that. And you could check your benefit statement and make sure it's accurate. So that will be your homework. You know, check. Go online, check your Social Security statement, and set up an account.
Okay, we hope you are sticking to the habit of reading one financial article a day. ATIinvestment.com is a great place to start. And the Resources tab has worksheets and calculators and helpful links to keep you better informed. And the Blogs and Radio tab, of course, you could listen to replays of the show. And Tony's been blogging routinely at maliceforall.com, and I blog at realsmartica.com. Be sure and check those out as well. He's been quoted in a number of places, NASDAQ.com and Christian Science Monitor, so be sure and check that out. Until next week, we wish you well. We hope that you gain some financial strength. We hope these tips are helping you. Be sure and tune in again next week. Until then, be well. Let me tell you, damn guys.